Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Praise the Lord for another opportunity to be here and study in the Word of God. Tonight, we're going to be giving an introduction into the new series that we're going to be going into on Wednesday nights. We've been looking at a life series, and we've studied several of the lives of those characters that God has placed in the Scriptures that have been a tremendous help to us. And I think we started this series at least 10, 15 years ago with the life of Christ. And what a great, great study that was on the life of Christ. And we've studied the life of David, the life of so many as we've gone through Joseph. And of course, we just come through the life of John the Baptist. And this life of Noah, that's what we're going into on this new series. And there's a whole lot to it, more than what you would realize. And so I think that tonight, just an introduction to it, and then we'll get into the book of Genesis, where it is recorded. But tonight I want you to go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews in chapter 11, and go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read one verse out of the book of Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter, and describing the faith of these different ones that's listed here in chapter 11. And we find one of those patriarchs is Noah, and Noah, and so Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. The Bible says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you once again, we thank you for this opportunity just to study the Bible. And Lord, for each one that's here that has a desire to, Lord, just to learn more and to sit underneath the teaching and the preaching of thy word, and Lord, just draw closer to you through knowledge. And I pray tonight, God, that you'd bless each one of them and that's here tonight for their faithfulness and their desires. And I pray, God, as they have a desire to be here, that they would receive that spiritual food and that which would be a spiritual help to them. I pray that you would use me once again to bring forth these truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The life of Noah reveals so much about one of the greatest and possibly the most controversial events in all of human history, and that would be the Great Flood. And I don't think there's anyone that disagrees with the earth being at one point covered with water. Many will disagree the time frame that that took place. Many will disagree as far as what was on the earth before the flood and what was on the earth after the flood. And but the flood answers a lot of the questions concerning the archaeological findings that we have today. And the Bible, again, is the very words of God. And God has established it. It's been around for as long as man has been around, at least the Word of God has. The written down Word of God was completed, as we know, some 2,000 years ago. So 2,000 years, we've had all of the Old Testament, as well as for 2,000 years now, we've had the New Testament, which gives even greater insight into the Old Testament as what Christ revealed. And so, but it has been around for all this time, and God has given to us a proven history of humanity, proven by God, proven by the Word of God, and it's backed by nature, backed by all the evidence outside of what man's wisdom and man's philosophies would come up with. So we have, I've often said, the Bible is a history book. It's the most accurate history book that you'll ever read. But it's more than just history. It's a science book, and it's the most accurate science book. True proven science will go hand in hand with the Word of God. True proven history will go hand in hand with the Word of God. It's the Word of God, and it has been recorded for us to learn of the things that God has established. And so we find here that this study on the life of Noah, it's going to take in the event, one of the major events in all of human history, and that is the Great Flood. and what took place around that. The flood is covered in Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7 and Genesis in chapter 8. Those three chapters of the Old Testament covers the God's account of the flood. Well, it also, in doing that, it records a biblical account of the life of Noah. Now, there's a little bit before in chapter 5, a little bit after in chapter 9, but mainly the life of Noah is recorded in the three chapters that the Bible records all the information about the great flood. And so they go hand in hand. And with this, we find out God's time frame. For instance, the Bible reveals that Noah would live for 950 years. To think that man could live in this physical body for 950 years. Well, that's what the Bible says. And so we know that things would have been different before the flood. Because Noah, there was only two that lived longer than Noah, recorded in the scriptures. And first would have been his grandfather, Methuselah, which lived 969 years. He lived a full 19 years more. I don't know if you get up to 900. I don't know 19 would make all that much difference. But Noah lived 950 years. Methuselah lived 969 years. And Noah's great-grandpa, which would have been Methuselah's father, the Bible records that Jared lived 962 years. So we know that God's word is true. And we know that man lived, there was a possibility that man could live almost 1,000 years before the flood. Now, was the body the same? Exactly. God created the man's body. He created it with age. But things were different because he did not age as quickly. We know that he lived longer, quite a bit longer. And God had purpose for all that during that time. After the flood, you'll see that that changed. But before the flood, we find that mankind lived longer on the earth. Just a little bit of information here that we'll get into more of this as we study in the book of Genesis and we go through this. But Noah knew Methuselah, his grandfather. During the time of Noah, he lived 950 years, and Methuselah lived 969. Well, in that time, Noah knew Methuselah, who lived in Adam's lifespan. That means that Methuselah would have been alive when Adam was still alive, the very first man. And so now they are passing verbally. Adam verbally communicated with Methuselah and was able to teach him everything that he had learned in his lifespan. Everything that he had seen at the very beginning. The very first man. All that was recorded in his mind. Well, if we look at the Bible account of time, Methuselah would have lived at the end of Adam's lifespan. And Noah would have known Methuselah, who knew firsthand Adam. And then before Noah would die, Noah would have lived with Abraham. Abraham, who was 58 when Noah died. Now, that's amazing. But as we look at this, we find that not only do we have God's account, but we've had those that God that had been there since the very beginning and was passing these truths along verbally able to communicate. Amen? And now we know, we look back in every generation, and that's what we're supposed to continue to do is pass it on to those faithful men who'll be able to continue to pass it on. Well, that's nothing new. It's always been that way. If we start breaking some of these things down, we'll understand the time frame of creation. We'll understand more about the time frame as far as what took place in the before the flood and then what took place, the time frame. Noah was on that ark for about a year. Took 120 years to build. and all the things that have taken place somewhat after that. So it's going to be a very interesting study. So I'm trying to get you to see in some of these little tidbits, if you will, and looking at what the Word of God says and understanding these things, all these things will be brought out and be made as clear as we can through when we get it studying in the book of Genesis and then start looking at the other scriptures that go along with that. So his life gives us much insight into the history of humanity. Noah is mentioned several times in the New Testament. And these times that he is mentioned in the New Testament is going to be our introduction. That's what we want to do. We're going to spend tonight and looking at and how it applies to this study in the life of Noah on what the New Testament reveals about the life of Noah and how that God used that in such a powerful way as he has used it. His life as a great example of faith. That's what we read tonight. I mean, you look at all these heroes of the faith. You look at all these that God has recorded in his Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, and they impacted lives. I mean, their lives were something that revealed such faith that God says, I want the New Testament, I want all the world to have an opportunity to read my word and understand the power of their life of faith. Well, his life is a great example of faith. Faith to do the work that God called him to do, even when he couldn't see the outcome. And somewhat had a hard time understanding why. God revealed to Noah some seemingly unbelievable things. And he said, you're just going to have to, by faith, believe me. And because of what's going to take place, you're going to have to, by faith, believe that I've got you doing the right thing. I've got you doing something that's going to impact the world. Most important work that you could be involved in, Noah, is the work that I've got you doing. Look what it says there again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet. What is that? The world's going to be destroyed. All of mankind are going to be drowned. He would have told him about a flood, and Noah's living in a desert. He said, all that you see around you, Noah, this desert will be all covered in water. That's why he had no plans of moving the ark to the ocean. He was just building it right there because he knew the water was coming to him. How do you know that? God. God's word. Now, God verbally spoke to Noah, and we'll find that in the book of Genesis. He talks to him and tells him what's going on in society, tells him what he's going to do. But the Bible says that as he told him things, he was warned of God of things not seen as yet. But he was moved with fear, the reverential fear of God and what God had told him, and he prepared an ark. And by preparing the ark, it was to the saving of his own house. And by the which, in doing that, condemned the world because the world would be destroyed and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He was saved by faith. If he hadn't built the ark, if he hadn't had faith to do what God told him to do, if he hadn't had faith that this was the will of God, and he would not have built an ark, which he would not have been able to escape the flood himself. So seemingly unbelievable things, a flood in the desert, seemingly unbelievable things, water coming out of the sky. As far as the makeup of the earth at this particular time, according to the Bible, it had never rained upon the earth as of yet. Which again shows us there was a different type of atmosphere that man was living in. There was a different conditions, the food that he ate possibly is what helped to sustain a longer life. We know that even is true today. We know that there are certain foods, if you eat, you're going to die a very early death. If you continue to eat all the fats and everything else, we know by examining the body and understanding how that all that works, that all this clogs up the arteries and clogs up the heart, and there's a healthy way to live and there's an unhealthy way to live. And for the most part, it's been proven that if you live this way, you're going to live longer. If you live this way, you're going to die an early death. Amen? So, I mean, some of that, we look back, some was different. They lived almost 1,000 years. So there was a difference in the food that they ate. There was a difference in the air that they breathed. There was a difference in the atmosphere that they lived on, although the planet was the same. But God had not allowed it to rain on the earth as of yet. And we'll find that that's what the Bible says. But so he tells him, the water is going to come from beneath, and the water is going to come from above. And Noah, you've never seen it before. Not seen as yet. No one has. Take my word for it. It's going to happen. By faith, believe me when I tell you, even though it doesn't seem like it could possibly be, such as a rapture. Not seen it yet, but if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. We have Noah as an example of faith. And because God knows what's going to happen, he said, this is what the best way to live your life, Noah. This is what's best for you. It's best for your family. This is going to bring you salvation. Now, the work, his belief in God, the faith, and that's what it overemphasized that here, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He built the ark because he had faith in what God said. He believed it. And so we find here that this his life, even though it didn't seem like it was possible, water coming from heaven, and didn't seem possible, the only way for anyone on earth to escape damnation, escape death, would be found on Noah's Ark. That didn't seem possible. At this particular time, I mean, as many of the Bible scholars have looked, and we'll study a little bit of this as well, they believe there was like a billion people living on planet Earth during this time. They could justify and see how that would have taken place. They didn't have death like we have death today. And they continue to reproduce. But there would be only one way that they could survive. Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark. For 120 years, he built an ark and kept his family together. You say, it's hard to keep my family in church today. I mean, it's so corrupt and there's so much out there and everything's going on. The example of Noah's faith, he kept his family. And because of his faith, it influenced their faith. And because they followed their father, they were the only ones that escaped death of the flood. Wow, what a powerful message that is. And how important his faith, because what kept his wife living right and doing right and having faith in God was Noah's example. And she looked to Noah and the three boys that he had. What kept them doing right is they looked to their father. And the only ones outside of Noah's family was the three daughters that his sons were able to influence. And because of their influence and the marriages, they were saved. The importance of one man's faith. The Bible says in Noah that he was just man, perfect in his generation, and he walked with God. His faith influenced theirs. Well, look over to 2 Peter with me. 2 Peter chapter 2. His life serves as an inspiration for all believers to remain faithful to God in spite of living in a corrupt world. We're going to examine some of this. You think the world is corrupt today? And it is, but nothing like it was at the end of Noah's day. Man's hearts and his thoughts were evil continuously. And there was no church outside of Noah's family. There was no preacher outside of Noah. At this particular time. Look what the Bible says about 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And it's talking about God and how he didn't spare, he judged. But this is what I want you to see on this. This is a reference to Noah. It says, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person." And this is how the Bible described him again. "A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." He was the only preacher alive at that time. Wow. At the time of the flood, at the time when all of it ceased, it was just Noah and his family. And God says, records in the New Testament, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. What a tough thing it is to try to live righteously in an ungodly society. And yet we have the inspiration of Noah to look to and realize 120 years. He was ridiculed 120 years. He was laughed at. He was mocked. And he just continued to preach what God told him to preach. In spite of living in a corrupt world, we can be inspired to know that it can be done. He was a preacher of righteousness. Well, look over to the book of Luke with me. Luke in chapter 17. These are just some of the references in the New Testament as to Noah and how important it was. And Jesus used it. It impacted, and it will continue to be an example for all of Christianity. In Luke in chapter 17, his life serves as a great example of the fulfillment of God's word. Now, again, seemingly, God, how in the world is this going to take place? But it did take place. Now, we look back on it, reread it, and not that big a deal. We know, and we've continued to see what God said and his prophecies being fulfilled. We see that his prophecies continuing to be fulfilled throughout the Old Testament. We see his prophecies being fulfilled in the beginning of the New Testament, the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. We see the prophecies of his resurrection. We see the prophecies of the church, the prophecies of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We see all the prophecies of what's going to take place on earth as far as the mentality of the society. We continue to see how exactly what the Bible says is going to take place on this earth within humanity is coming about just as God said. And Noah, his life serves as a great example of the fulfillment of God's word. Even in the book of Luke in chapter 17, look down to verse 26 and verse 27 as Jesus is teaching about the end times. And he says in verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and they drank and they married wives. They were given in marriage until the actual day." They continued to live however they wanted to live and do whatever they wanted to do until the actual day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now Jesus uses Noah as an example of how it's going to be in society when the end comes. The rapture takes place. Even though it might seem like it will never happen, and some say, well, it's been 2,000 years. Yeah, but there's been many fulfillments of prophecy in the last 2,000 years. The Word of God has continued to be accurate as far as the direction of humanity and as far as the apostasy and all the different things that are taking place. It has been very accurate as into all of the fulfillment of prophecies, which leads us to believe, if you're someone who believes the Bible, if you're saved tonight, then you realize that all of these things have been fulfilled. That gives me confidence to know that everything beyond this is going to be fulfilled, which Jesus also reveals, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. The fulfillment of God's word. Something that all of us ought to actually be strengthened by when you read the Word of God. Know that it's truth. And know if God says it's going to take place, it's going to take place. If God says it's a promise, it's a promise. In Matthew chapter 24. In verse 36. The Bible says, "But of that day and hour," speaking of the rapture, "knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Can I tell you that God knows? And He has given us instructions on how to live life and what to do and have the importance of the church, the importance of all the different things. Because He knows what's going to happen. As He did Noah. He said, "Noah, I know you're going to be 120 years. Noah, you're going to get frustrated from time to time, and Satan's going to work on you, and the people, it's going to get to you from time to time. You just got to continue to know that what I tell you is true. You just got to know what you know. And no matter what's happening around you, no matter what's going on inside of you, just keep your minds focused on what I told you, what I tell you, what know what you know. Because it will come to pass. It will come to pass. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were," there again, he's using it again, "but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came." When they started experiencing water falling from the skies, they started seeing the water coming up out of the earth and the desert starting to be flooded. They knew what Noah had been preaching his whole life was true. But once they saw it, it's too late for faith. And they would perish in the flood. And then they would perish in eternity. "And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." As we go through this life of Noah, we study some of these things, it just serves as a great example of the fulfillment of God's Word. And then one last thing, 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. His life reveals that even after God determined to do it, God waited for a time so that there would be no excuse for anyone to have rejected His message. God knows He's going to destroy this earth. He tells us in the book of Revelation. He's already given us the future facts as what is going to take place after the millennial reign, after the rapture, of course, and the 7-year tribulation period, then the millennial reign, and then God's going to destroy this earth. He's given us a promise. He's given us a rainbow as to verify His promise that the world will not be judged by water again. It will never be covered with water. He will never use that again. But He will destroy the earth as by fire. Now, some believe that it's possibly the earth going into the sun. It could be a number of different ways. God doesn't need the sun to destroy the earth. Amen. He can just, but it will be destroyed by fire. He knows He's going to do that now. But He's waiting. Why is God waiting? If He's going to do it, why has He waited 2,000 years? Why hasn't He already destroyed the earth? Why hasn't the rapture already come? Why all these things? It's up to God. It's our part to have faith in God and know that it's going to take place. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, in verse 20, this last reference of Noah found in the New Testament, he says, "Which some were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God Look what he, and he's talking about, again, the judgments and the different things, but he uses this in referring to Noah. He said, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. For 120 years, God waited to destroy the earth with flood. After God had determined they've gone too far, they've gone past the point of return. Every thought of the man's heart was that of evil. The wickedness had covered the earth, and it had gone too far. God knew at that point that the mankind in general would never come back to what it needed to be, what he had created it to be. Animal life, everything about the earth was corrupt. And the Bible reveals some things, and we'll study this, but it's like it made God vomit over what he had seen, as this is what he had prepared it for, and this is what it had turned out to be. And it was nothing that what he had prepared it to be, what he had designed it to be. The free will of man had corrupted man. Satan had corrupted man. There was all this taking place, and this ungodly marriages, these ungodly activity, all the different things had corrupted the earth. And God says, I'm going to destroy it. Already determined, it's going to be destroyed. But he waits 120 years. He waits 120 years after he determined it's going to be done. He even revealed it's going to be done. But he waited, the Bible says, 120 because of his long suffering. The only reason the earth is still here today is because of God's long suffering. But don't misinterpret that as God's not going to judge. Once a long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls in 120 years, eight souls were saved by water. Wow. I don't know how many will be saved between now and when the rapture does take place. But I know it's only by the long-suffering God that we have opportunities to still see souls saved. Have opportunities to continue to send missionaries around the world. Continue to have opportunity to witness to our families. Continue to be able to go out door to door, knocking on doors, just doing what God has called us to do. And God has called us as His church to evangelize the world because He sees what's coming. We have to, by faith, know it's coming and be committed to doing what God's called us to do. Noah was committed to building the ark because he had faith to know that it was coming. 120 years. Tough times, no doubt. Had some run-ins with his kids, no doubt. Had some times he had to sit down with his wife and talk to her a little bit, maybe, no doubt. But he kept them. Because of his faith, they all stayed faithful. And because of their faith, only ones, that survived the flood. There's much for us to learn from the life of Noah. And I trust that even just the introduction tonight helps you understand that there's a lot there. There really is. And we're going to break it down. We're going to take some time, go through and make applications. Everything that I do, everything I preach is applicable. I think we study it and God has a reason. He has presented it to us and He has a present application for every truth that God gives us. And life of Noah, like all the others, you're going to find there's a lot of applicable truths that we can put to work in our lives today. The life of Noah. Excited about it. I trust that you'll look forward to studying it with us here on Wednesday nights. Let's pray. Everybody, I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Just going over the introduction tonight, I don't know if God spoke to you in a way that you need to make a decision. Maybe you have been putting off trusting Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've been putting off committing to the work that you know God has called you to do. and just going over some of the basic things in this introduction. If God spoke to you tonight and you have need to come for whatever reason, we invite you to come. Always have an invitation. Don't always have a musical invitation, but there's always an opportunity to respond to what God has spoken to us about. If you need to respond at the altar, then you step out at this time. Anybody else? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the study of the Word of God. Thank you that you've preserved it for us, and it helps us to know the very mind and thoughts of an almighty Creator God. And I pray, God, as we get into this new study, and that you would give us all the insight into it that we need to learn these historical truths that you have prepared and placed and written down for us to learn, and how that we can apply these truths to our lives even today. I pray that you would just give us all the wisdom and insight into the series on the study of the life of Noah. I pray that you would help us now as we get ready to leave here tonight, that you'd watch over us, get us all home safely, and bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.